But yes, I can see that they have a big chest cavity. I can take a heart rate and see how quick a horse recovers and the heart rate slows down. I can look at the nostrils. We're looking for big nostrils that can move a lot of air. And you got to have a certain toughness in the horse, mental as well as physical. One thing doesn't make a good endurance horse. It's the everything together. They enjoy the competition. They enjoy being out there. They are not lazy. A lazy horse that doesn't really want to go would not be a good endurance horse. So we started this about 20 years ago. We are called the Global Endurance Training Center. And why we are global? Because we had not only competed in many different countries, but also because we get riders from all over the world coming here and enjoy the West and want to be a part of it and relive some of history. Even go back a few hundred years, they had a big races in the Middle East, distance races, and they had in Europe cavalry distance races. There's one famous one that went from Berlin to Vienna. And here in the US, it started 60 years ago in California when with the Tevis Cup. So the Tevis Cup is the hardest, longest, most prestigious endurance race probably in the world.
So, Butch, you're going to have to suck it up.
Yeah, you're really gonna.
This one's the biggest one we have.
You're a breather outer.
Suck in, buddy.
Today we'll do a lesson out on the trail, and we have Tessny here. She is a student and taking regularly lessons, and she has been doing really well and learning about horses, endurance riding, and balance. How do you balance on the horse? What about your weight, left and right?
Oh yeah, you gotta be in the middle. Like you can't put more side on the left, and you can't put then on the right. So you gotta be in the middle and center balance. It's kind of just like horse riding wasn't cool, and now like everybody wants to do it, and they all want horses. And like even if they don't have any experience, they want a horse.
So if somebody has only one horse, it needs at least a goat. They mentally get along very well, horses and goats, and they view each other, they play with each other, they think alike, they are kind of, you know, related like that, although it doesn't look like it, but they really are. A horse herd is very, it's a hierarchy, it's a dictatorship. You have 100 horses, there are no equals. So size makes no difference for horses. That's why a goat could be above a horse. It just is all the mental aspects, the power of the mind, the leadership, the having that, you know, being the leader. It's just like, you know, with humans too. It's like somebody are presidents, somebody runs a big company, and then you have the person who doesn't want to run the company but wants to be told what to do. And horses are like that. See, Sam always wants to be told what to do.
That's right.
See? Yeah. He doesn't want to think
for
himself.
That, yeah.
You're not just thinking about your own well-being. You got to think more about the horse's well-being and feeling and seeing what the horse goes through, and then working together with the horse. It's a partnership, because the horse is not a bike. It has a spirit and a soul and a life, his or her opinion, and you have to work with all that and put it in the equation. And then, of course, when our mind wanders, we think about what we should do next week, although you cannot do it now, or if you think back when you were a child, what you went through, or this or that. You cannot help it. Our minds are just so active. You know, there is the Buddhists say, well, accidents happen when your body and your mind are in two different places. You know, be there with your mind, what you're doing at any given time. So, and I think that's helpful, because you got it with the horses. Be there with your mind, otherwise they get lost, or they buck you off, or they do all kinds of things, because they have their own agenda as well.